Hey everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of First Impressions on the Scratch the Track podcast, presented by the Dune Room Show and co-produced by Mr. Ivy EST. I am the Dude.
And I'm Grim. And today we are going to be discussing our first impressions of In Times New Roman, the newly released eighth studio album by none other than Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah.
It's been a while since.
6 years.
6 years. Yeah. And I was a big fan of Villains. Even after probably only listening to this like five times, I would say I probably like it more than Villains at this point.
And I agree.
I think it's going to end up being one of my favorites of theirs.
Yeah, I think already, you know, we were kind of going back and forth, going back and forth with Ivy. And basically, you know, I think he put his little ranking together. And like right now, mine is like Clockwork, Songs for the Deaf, Era Vulgaris. And then this one currently is sort of my ranking. I don't know if it can jump Songs for the Deaf because that's a big leap, but it could jump up over Era. Like it could, that could happen. I'm not saying it won't, but it's only been like 4 days. So give me time.
The album just has like a consistent groove throughout, and each song they're definitely different. It's not like all the songs sound the same, but I love how some of the stuff is just really chopped up and it's very rhythmic. Like Negative Space really jumped out at me. And I love it because it sounds like there's negative space in the way they produced and the way the instrumentation is. So it was it was really good, like word painting, I believe was the term used. But I like that. And I don't know. I also, of course, and I know that we also talked about this, I really love all the play on words in the song titles.
Oh, dude, play on words in the song title. Dude, I mean, obscenery.
What the people say.
Like, dude, instead of paper machete.
Yeah. And even the ones that are carnivore, that's pretty good too.
Yeah. Time and place, usually time and space, right? I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Emotion sickness.
Yeah, that's a good one. And then this one isn't like necessarily in that same way, but I think Straitjacket Fitting is just a funny name for a song.
Dude, that's fucking badass. Yeah, dude. Yeah, I really like that one. The only one that really kind of isn't is Sicily. Or maybe I just haven't found the play on words there yet, but you
that
know.
That one's got a really interesting riff in it, too. And I like how that sort of just really builds and gets that's a nice
one. It's my favorite song.
Oh,
my
really?
Song in the album.
Wow.
Right now. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Just get that out of the way.
That.
Yeah. Uh huh. Dude, I love the percussion on it, kind of like, and then the heaviness, like when the guitar comes in, and like the bass and the drums just kind of pulsate the song a lot. Man, I don't know. It was probably my third or fourth time listening to it last night, and that it grabbed me, man. Like of all the other ones, I was like, okay, Lie of the Pels, me and Carlos. That's probably the one for me right away. Is there a song for you that's really grabbed you so far?
Yeah. Negative Space, man. Just because the other ones, I mean, they're definitely kind of within this sort of stylistic framework, but I love how chopped up that one is in rhythmic.
Okay.
Yeah. And I feel like when it comes in, it's something different.
Yeah.
Well,
you were kind of talking about sort of the sound of this album, and the first couple times I listened to it, and I think, you know, again, I want to listen. Literally, I'm going to put this on as soon as we're done recording this album, which does not happen like very often.
Yeah, I know.
I find I'm like, you know, I'm like, okay, I've listened to it a bunch.
Well, because there's whatever. First impressions that you want to listen to something, and even if it's a band you like, and there's times where it's like, oh, that's pretty good. But this one, I mean, I probably played this thing like five times in a row. I just left it going because it was.
Yeah.
And then after that, I went to the record store to see if they had it because I was like, I'm just going to buy this now.
Yeah. Mine is currently sitting in Dallas, Texas. It's on its way up to Michigan.
On its way to Detroit.
Really hoping, I was really hoping, like, hey, let's ship it. Let's get it overnighted. I was really hoping I could be like, hey, check this out. Oh, I got the silver disc. If you go to Queens of the Stone Age website, I believe the only colored disc they have left is red.
Oh,
they have red. Oh. When I checked today. But they had silver, blue, and I think like a green or something, maybe. But now they have red. But, you know, kind of almost as like a little bit of an aside here. One thing you and I've talked about kind of a lot is, you know, bands as they get older.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times I just find that their stuff doesn't necessarily get better, or I'm like, yeah, OK, it's good. It's cool. I like it. But, you know, having what, Like Clockwork, if this is their eighth album, Like Clockwork would have been their sixth. And that's my favorite album. And, you know, I just find a lot of times, usually the
This is the downslope period.
Yeah. Yeah. The earlier stuff, I'm like, oh, man, why don't they make stuff like they used to? You know, I sound like a real asshole saying that.
Yeah,
but
you do.
Because a lot of people do say that.
Dick.
Yeah, I am. But it doesn't mean it's not true, and I feel how I feel. So, like, it's one of those things, though, where, man, I don't know if I'd say this band is getting better, but, man.
They're definitely not getting worse.
Yeah, like, I like, you know, to have, you know, their two of their most three recent albums be, like, that high on my list, I don't know if it says more about them or more about me, but, you know, it's just interesting. That doesn't usually happen with most bands that I'm really, really into. It just doesn't.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. Another thing that we talked about is like, OK, so Joshua Homme is in his, what, 50s now?
Mm-hmm.
And me being in my 40s, I really like this. And to me, it's still very relevant. There isn't a lot of just like rock bands out there anymore. It doesn't seem like at the in the today's sort of musical landscape
today, Junior.
And it's, I don't know if young people really listen to this. I feel like they should, but I don't know if like rock music's really big with them. And you know, another thing too, is so you think of like this band and even Dave Grohl from Foo Fighters has been involved with Queens of the Stone Age.
Yep.
I don't have the same feeling about their new music as I do about what Queens has come out with.
Yeah. I mean, I think just overall for me, just styles.
It
that's the thing.
It still has edge. It's not to me, some bands, and I hate to say it, even like the new stuff that would come out by Red Hot Chili Peppers, to me, it just seems like adult contemporary music at this point, where this is still a little rough for some people.
But I think it's a pure reflection of Josh Homme and everything he's going to and how the music, I don't want to say it's all him because it's not all him, but you know, the words that he writes and the pictures that he paints are a true reflection of him and what he's going through. And, you know, again, in that interview.
Zane Lowe, you know, that was a really good interview.
You know, he talks about over the past couple of years, all the people he's lost, and he was real tight with Anthony Bourdain, you know, obviously Mark Lanegan. I don't know how close he was with like Taylor Hawkins, but he's very close with Dave Grohl. So one would think that, you know,
even by extrapolation,
you know, he had some sort of a relationship with Taylor. And so, but I think they said over the past couple of years he had lost, and I don't know why this number is popping out in my head, but
11?
Like almost like like 11 people or something like that that he was sort of close to or knew in his life have kind of passed away. And he talked about this record really being about, you know, acceptance. And I'm curious if that sort of means like acceptance of, hey, you know, people live the life they live and they move on and you sort of have to accept
also
that.
Also move on. And not even just that. I think that because it sounds like him and Zane Lowe had done a lot of like work, you know, personal, mm-hmm. like therapy, sort of that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And I thought that was really interesting because it sounds like, you know, when they're speaking, very emotionally intelligent, sort of cognizant of what's going on and not in any way dismissing anything before, but being cognizant of it. But that's kind of a good interview to hear because it's like these people growing up and growing as people, but yet still being able to do their art in a way that is not cheesy, not sappy. It's honest and it's still kind of raw, and you know, it's like it runs the gamut of things. Like sometimes you're kind of pissed off, you know?
Yeah. I think he even says something about that in the interview. Like somebody said, well, this song sounds really angry. And I think Josh was like, yeah, you know, sometimes you're angry. Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, yeah, that's okay.
But this doesn't sound as angry and aggressive as like some of the Queens of the Stone Age of the past.
Sure. Yeah. And I think there's a part of me, I don't want to say, oh, well, that comes with like getting old. I think that comes with becoming more mature.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like gaining that wisdom. Right. But it doesn't have that kind of some sappy stuff where you'll see bands go. Right.
Yeah.
Like there's still you still has that edge. It still has that darkness. And I would just say, you know, the interview, one, you can get it on YouTube. It's also on Apple's, platform. So I downloaded the album and it's included as an extra. It's like an hour long interview.
Yeah,
definitely,
really good though.
Definitely check it out. I mean, probably after you finish watching this episode.
And after you.
And
comment.
But kind of like you were talking about sort of the rawness or grittiness, even musically, it has a, here's the thing to me, musically, it has a heaviness to it, but it doesn't have the sort of crunch, the distortion. Like when I think of like Songs for the Deaf, like to me, I think of like going into a junkyard and pulling out a piece of like jagged, rusty metal. To me, this album feels like more like polished silver, like dinnerware.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's
for them. Yeah.
Like, dude, like it has the heaviness, but it there's a cleanliness, like a polishedness to it in the overall sound. I don't hear a lot of, you hear a lot of loud stuff. I don't hear a lot of like crunch and distortion though, like musically. Like
yeah.
That.
The bass, they do a good job of the bass being like one of the fuzzier elements of it, which I love because that just adds a nice contrast to everything. But
yeah, there's just something almost like, I almost wanted to say, and I don't want this to sound like I'm cheapening it by any ways. Like, oh, they just dropped like, it's almost like dropping an Instagram filter on a photo or something. It's not like they just dropped a just like, hey, I'm just going to put this filter on the whole song or the whole album. But it, to me, it does. It really has like this polish to it for, I don't know exactly the best way to describe it, but that's how I'm describing it. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's good. So I gotta say, unless this year just goes totally nuts and some of the most amazing, I'm gonna say this is probably gonna be one of my top albums of the year.
Yeah,
definitely. We're about halfway through.
God, that sucks.
Well, it is.
I mean, in Times New Roman.
Yeah, you know? It is. So. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think if there's anything else I really wanted to cover. Now they recorded it partially at Josh Homme's studio and partially on Rick Rubin's as well. Now I don't know if Rick Rubin was listed as a producer on this, but it sounds like they used his studio.
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, I would, if I was him, I would let people rent my studio because his place is amazing, dude.
It's probably pretty badass. I think, a couple other songs, like, the singles, like Emotion Sickness and Carnivore. When Emotion Sickness came out, I was like, I don't know. It didn't grab me right away.
The singles didn't grab me either.
You know, Carnivore did more than Emotion Sickness did.
In the album, I really like them, but yeah.
Well, and that's sort of what I was going to say. You know, I thought the singles were good, like when I first heard them. To me, Queens of the Stone Age is just one of the, they're an album band.
Yeah.
So I feel like I want to hear those songs in the context of the full album. And I do like them much better as part of the whole album. You know, if I probably did, if you were forcing me to scratch a track right now, it probably would be Emotion Sickness. But
we're going I would have there.
To, no, hey, I've listened to the album like three times.
Oh, so yeah, you're basically an expert on it. What was exactly, it like when much. You guys recorded it together?
Yeah, oh, it was awesome, man. Josh was over there. I was over there. I was just chilling, sipping on some mezcal. It was badass. Yeah. Yeah. We go way back to never meeting.
Yeah. I don't know what I would scratch at this point because this is first impressions and I don't need to. So yeah. I'm just taking
scratch
it
what your
it is.
Face,
but
man.
I would definitely put it on again, and I will probably listen to it, as you said, several times today. So
yeah, definitely going to do that. So, all right. Well, I would really love to hear everyone else's first impressions of this album.
So, you like, know? Subscribe, comment below. Tell us what's up.
But yeah, no. And we also recently last week or a couple weeks ago put out a kind of a deeper dive into Like Clockwork. So if you're a huge Queens of the Stone Age fan, definitely check that out. We also have, dude, we've done Era Vulgaris and Songs for the Deaf.
Like, subscribe, and comment below. So
check those
check it out
too.
See what it's about. But I think that wraps it up here, Grim.
Yep, it's time to go.
All right. Dude, Grim Shop. Grim
Shop. Scratch a Track is produced by the Dude and Grim. Additional music provided by Moore and the Tings. Copyright 2023, The Dude and Grim Show.